beginning a series of messages today entitled Family Passages. And the reason I'm doing that is because next Sunday we will be celebrating Mother's Day, and then about a month after that we'll be celebrating Father's Day, and in between many families will celebrate the milestone of graduations, and my family being one of those. This is a time of the year when the importance of family is celebrated and realized. So again, during this month, I want to look at four passages of Scripture that will share some important principles that families should live by. I know these principles will not be all of the principles family need, but in these 4 weeks, I'm going to give you a few that will be important for you to consider as being a part of your family life. I want to begin this morning with a passage, in fact, found in Genesis chapter 27. This passage is somewhat a complicated passage, so I will not even begin to scratch the surface of what we can learn from it. But today, I want to focus on the importance of giving a blessing to children. Because if you're not aware of it, I want you to know this morning, that children desire to be blessed. Are you aware of that today? Children desire a blessing in their life. You know, when we look at this passage in Genesis, I think it's going to become very clear to us that children desire a blessing. Now, if you're familiar with your biblical history, here's something you know. You know that Abraham had a son born to him and Sarah miraculously in their old age, and they named him Isaac. And then Isaac had twin sons born to him named Esau and Jacob. Now, these twins were like the twins born to Kim and myself, different in looks and personality in every way. But they were twins that were born to Isaac. As was the custom, though, in this day, Esau, being the firstborn, was due a substantial portion of the family wealth called the birthright. However, he ended up foolishly selling his birthright to his brother in a moment of hunger and because of a plan that their mother had devised, because their mother loved the younger Jacob more and wanted him to receive the blessing. And so when the time came for Isaac to bless his son in his latter years, Jacob went in and received the blessing from his father by tricking him. Now, this was obviously possible because Isaac, at this point in his life, had reached a point where he'd lost most of his eyesight, if not all of it. And to show the desire, though, of being blessed, I want you to look at what happened after Jacob had come and been blessed by his father. Look, beginning in verse 30. It says, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat his son's game, that you may bless him." Now, what you see here is that just after Jacob had left from receiving his father's blessing, that Esau came in. Esau had spent the whole day hunting for his father's favorite food, which was wild game. And he had taken the time after finding that wild game to prepare it just like his father liked it. And so now he brought it to his father, not knowing this, not knowing that his brother Jacob had already brought in some food, prepared just the way he liked it, passing it off as wild game, and had received his father's blessing. Well, let's read on to Esau's response, verse 32. His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" he answered. "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed." And as soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." Now we live today in such a video-driven world that it may be hard for us to get a full grasp of what we just read. But I want to ask you this question. Did you hear the emotion in this passage? It said that Esau cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and asked for his father's blessing. You see, when you read this, you need to read it with the emotion that's indicated here. Because Esau probably said something like, "Bless me, Father, even me now also, Lord, bless me." You see, he didn't just say it coming in very softly. He desired his father's blessing, and he was begging, he was crying out, wanting his dad to bless him. Now, what I also need you to understand is this, that when you look at Esau, Esau was not an effeminate, emotional guy. Esau was the picture of masculinity. The Bible describes him as a rugged and a hairy man, one who loved the outdoors and everything about it. He was his father's favorite, in fact, because he was such a good hunter and a lover of wild game. And so get the picture. Here is this manly man of around 40 years of age. And what is he doing? He is begging for his father's blessing. Now, here's what that reminds me of. It's simply this, that everyone longs for their parents' blessing and approval. In fact, let me say this. I hope I don't have to tell you that. I hope that is not news for you. I hope you already knew it before I made that statement. Because of this, kids let us know at an early age that they want our blessing. Don't they do that? Listen, here's what they do. They draw something on a piece of paper, and then what do they do? They show it to us and say what? Look at what I drew, right? What are they wanting? They're wanting their blessing and approval of their parents. Then they'll go and they'll say, hey, watch me run. And then they'll take off running as fast as they can, right? Because what do they want? They want the blessing and approval. They want their parents to look at them and say, oh, wow, look how fast you can run, right? They desire that. Here's what something I've even discovered, that even when they get older, they don't lose it. That desire to be blessed, because last weekend for many, this weekend for some, there's a lot of teenagers that dressed up to get ready for prom, and you know what they asked their parents? How do I look? Why? Because they're wanting the approval. They're wanting the blessing of their parents. Now, again, the older we get, it still doesn't change. The questions just change. Now what we do is we bring the new car into the driving lot and we say, hey, what do you think about my new car, right? Because we want our parents to get their blessing and their approval. Or we say, how about our new house? Or what do you think about my new job? Because we're seeking that parental blessing. And if you're here this morning, you say to me, well, Brother Scott, I don't think that's so. I really don't believe you. That's just not me. Well, here's maybe the deal for you. Maybe you grew up in a situation where you didn't get the approval, or there was no one there to give that approval that you longed for. And here's what you've tried to do. You've tried to harden yourself to this desire. However, I will guarantee you that if you had your way, and if you were honest with me this morning, you would say that you have longed for the approval and the blessing of your parents. In fact, if you were honest, you might say, I wish I had received my parents' blessing and approval when I was young. And I say that, folks, because we all long for it, and when we don't receive it, we often act out in unhealthy ways. In fact, let's consider for a moment what a blessing is. Can we do that? First, let me give you some simple definitions. One definition I ran across just simply says this. It's the bestowal of good. And whatever a blessing is, here's what we know about it. It is something that's good. One way even to define the Old Testament word bless is this. It's at the bottom there. The Old Testament word can be described or defined as to speak words of divine favor, with the intent that the object will have favorable circumstances or state at a future time. In other words, a blessing was something spoken with the intent of helping good come into the life of the one who was blessed. Now let me say, in Old Testament times, that a blessing was a bestowal of favor and acceptance. Parts of it were informal as the children grew. But in the Jewish family, there came a time when there was a formal blessing ceremony. And though emphasis was placed on the firstborn, every family member received it. And whatever form this blessing took, it was both meaningful and powerful in the life of the one blessed. And so what I want to do this morning is look at the blessing that took place in Jacob's life and see what we can learn about giving a blessing to our children. Again, we can look at the details of the event in Isaac's life and we can learn some other things. In fact, we can learn some things about Isaac that were not so good. But today, let's focus on the positive things that were part of Isaac's blessing to Jacob. Let's read, backing up a few verses now, to verse 26. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. And so he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. Now, as I read this blessing, the first aspect of a blessing that we need to consider is this. It is meaningful touch. It might seem like a little thing, but the fact that Isaac asked for a kiss is important. Here is Jacob at nearly 40 years of age, and his father is asking for a kiss. Now, here's a question I have for you. I wonder how many fathers today would go up to their 40-year-old sons and say, give me a kiss. I just wonder. Unfortunately, in our day and time, we consider that just a little bit weird. But folks, here's what I'm going to say to you. We should not underestimate the importance of a meaningful touch. Here's what I've noticed, that people long for meaningful touches. Don't they? I mean, kids ask for hugs all the time. Kids want to sit in the laps of adults. Kids want to hold hands. And why is that? Because there is something about touch that says, I love you. There's something about a touch that says, I accept you. And I truly believe that if we fail to offer the children in our lives appropriate, meaningful touch, then you have done them a disservice. In fact, it is sad that in our day and time, we even have to clarify this and say appropriate, meaningful touch, but I must. I'm not advocating today inappropriate touching by any means, but what I am advocating is the appropriate show of love that can only be expressed by a touch. Now, if some of you want to argue with me that touch is that important, I'm going to tell you today, I'm not going to back down for this. Because everywhere I've looked, I've noticed that people seek out touches. When kids see me, oftentimes, if they know me at all, when the first thing that children will do is they run up and they want a touch. Many times they want a hug. That's what they really want, right? But because today's times, we've tried to discourage that so that things that happen. Here's what a lot of kids that I know come up and do. They say, give me a high five. You ever have them do that? Because they still want to touch. In fact, you come during our daycare, and if I go, and if any of the daycare kids see me during the week, they all come up to me and say, I want a high five, I want a high five. And so I go up and I give the first one a high five, and if you don't think that touch is important, you come and watch what happens next. Because just as soon as the first one gives you a high five, guess what happens? Every one of them line up and say, I want a high five, I want a high five, right? Jessica, you've seen them do it, right? They'll do that. Why? Because they want that meaningful touch. Now, here's something I've discovered with teenagers, that they too still want meaningful touches. Having many teenagers in my life, I've learned that desire doesn't decrease. In fact, I've found that it's really there. I've been blessed that my kids have got some great friends, and I've got to know many of their friends. And here's what will happen when many of their friends see me. The first thing they want from me, guess what? It is. No, they don't want a high five. They've gotten away from that. You know what they want? They want a hug. I have tried to master the one-arm side hug. All right? Because when my teenage friends, when their girls come up and they want a hug from me, I'm more willing to give it. But give me this side hug. But I found out they want it. Now, here's what happens with guys. You ready? Because guys really long for it, but we've kind of somehow taught them that, you know, maybe this hug, that's not cool enough. We've learned something else, all right? Come here, Jacob. Joshua refused to help me, so come here, all right? This is what we've done because we've somehow said hugs aren't inappropriate. We still want the touch, so we found other ways to get that touch. Give me a chest bump. Come on. Oh, yeah. Woo! You got you. All right? Have we not? We long for it, so we say, okay, hugging may not be cool, so let's go with a chest bump. I can do that. Now, here's one thing I'm glad about. The older we get, us men, we get away from that, and we say, I don't care anymore, all right, because I don't care if everybody thinks I'm cool or not. So I say, I want a hug. Come on, Roy. You're good at this. I know. I got a bunch from you, all right?
Man,
Right? We don't care anymore, do we?
No,
but we want it, don't we?
That's
right.
You
hug me anytime you want, Roy, all right? He gives the best hugs. If he's never given you a hug, you need to get one from him, all right? He gives them. But here's what that shows me. It doesn't matter who we are. What do we want? We want meaningful touches in our life. And should meaningful touch, listen, not be given to a child? I'm here to tell you, that child can suffer adverse effects. Most of us have probably heard of Marilyn Monroe. But what most of us don't know is that she lived a horrible childhood, being passed around from foster home to foster home. When asked one time by a reporter if there was ever a time as she was passed around from families when she felt loved, and this was her response. She said, once when I was 7 or 8, the woman I lived with was putting on her makeup and I was watching. She was in a happy mood, so she reached over and patted my cheek with her puff. With tears in her eyes, Marilyn said, for that moment I felt loved. Isn't it sad to think that when she looks back, only one small moment in her life, when she were to touch just by a puff of someone put on makeup, which says that I love you. Maybe if Marilyn Monroe had had more meaningful touches from those in her life who loved her when she was little, maybe her life would have ended up different. Maybe she wouldn't have ended up looking for love in all the wrong places and on these relationships that end up destroying her life. So let me just say to the adults here, If God has placed children under your care, be sure to provide for them appropriate, meaningful touch. Even if that child is a grown child in your life, don't be afraid to express your love in this way. In fact, some of you, maybe your children are all grown up, and you never expressed hugs and kisses to your children. Well, if that was you, why not go to your grown child today and give them a hug, maybe even a kiss, and see if they don't love it? I mean, after the shock wears off, right? See if they don't love getting a hug and a kiss from you, because they probably desired it all their life. And if they didn't get it, they will love to get that meaningful touch from you. And so as we think about blessing the children in our life, it starts with that meaningful touch. But the second aspect of giving a blessing is this. It's the spoken word. Let's go back to verse 27. It says, "So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, 'See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed.'" Now, this is just the beginning of what Isaac said, but it's important to realize that a blessing is not complete without the spoken word. In a way, we read this and we might find it a little funny, because here is Isaac, who's kissed by his son. And what does he do in the process? He takes a deep breath and smells his boy. Oh, does that sound a little weird to you? All right, now I will acknowledge something, that when Isaac was smelling Jacob, he thought he was smelling his son Esau, all right? Because what had Jacob done? He disguised himself. He put kind of skin on his hands and put the smell of the outdoors on him. But I want you to look. Isaac thought he was talking to Esau. And when he took the deep smell, what did he say? "Oh, you smell like one who's been blessed, who has a field blessed by the Lord." Now, that doesn't mean much to you, right? But for a man like Esau, what did he love to do? He was an outdoorsman. He was a man who spent his time in the field. And so when Esau spoke those words when Isaac spoke those words to Esau, what was he doing? He was complimenting his son. He was speaking a word of blessing into his life. And again, I'll grant you, we may find that a little weird, but it should not be so weird to recognize that Isaac understood the importance of recognizing the value of his son and to speak affirming words. See, if you're not familiar with this verse, let me read it to you from Proverbs 18:21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Listen, folks, do you want to eat the fruit of a child who knows that they are loved and are flourishing under that love? Do you want to eat that fruit? Huh? Do you? Then words that speak positive things into the life of that child should be a regular part of the things you do. In fact, don't be one of these people who say, "I don't have to tell them I love them. They know it by the things that I do." Maybe that's so, but folks, I'm here to tell you, they still need to hear it. Do you want a fruit of a child who is confident and a productive part of society? Then you should speak those words into your child's life. Here's too often what I hear kids hear today. You ready? Things like, "You're so stupid." Things like, "When are you ever going to do anything right? What is wrong with you?" And the list can go on this morning. And let me say this to you. If you've ever had one of those times where you've said one of those things to a child, if you've ever looked at a child and said, "You're stupid," if you've ever looked at a child and said, "Are you ever going to do anything right?" Or if you've ever looked at a child and said, "What's wrong with you?" Here's what you ought to do this morning. You ready? You ought to get on your knees before God today, and you ought to ask Him to forgive you of that, and ask God to give you a second chance to go back and make it right with that child. Because if you've spoken those negative words into their life, you've done more harm than you can ever imagine. Amen? You see, you ought to do it. You ought to get down on your knees tonight, because the spoken word is so important this morning. In fact, in studying, as I ran across at least four kinds of words that we should speak into the life of a child, there's a spot for you to write these down in your notes. Write this down. First one is this, just simply words of affection. Can anybody give me a word of affection this morning? Somebody said it, I think. Say it louder. "I love you." It's just that simple. Sometimes looking at a child and just saying, "Hey, I love you," on a regular basis can make a huge difference in their life. How about this one? Here's one you ought to say. "You're so beautiful." Let me go ahead. Men, let me say something to you. If you're here today and you got a daughter in your life, you ought to be telling your daughter all the time how beautiful she is. You hear me? Because I'm going to show you what the world's telling her. The world's telling her anything but she's beautiful. And she's not going to believe she's beautiful if her dad doesn't tell her that. And she's more apt to believe she's beautiful if her daughter will, if her dad will speak those words into her life and let her know how beautiful she is. I guarantee you every daughter here today would long to hear their daddy say, "I'm beautiful," right, ladies? I bet y'all say amen to that, would you not? You see, so if you're not speaking those words of affection today, that's where you start. Those are simple things, but here's what they do. They truly make one feel loved and accepted. The second words is this. It's words of reconciliation. I hate to admit it, but here's the reality is we've all messed up at times. Amen? Right? And I know I'm not in a class alone today because I've asked you that before, and you all have admitted you're with me. We make mistakes even with those we love, and words like, guess what? "I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I was wrong," can be some of the most powerful words you will ever speak. I hate to confess how many times I had to go back to my kids and say I was wrong. I don't like to think about how many times I had to go back, look at them and say, "Listen, when I said that to you, I was angry and I was wrong and I shouldn't have said that to you. Please forgive me." And then say, "Let me talk to you now in the right way, all right? Let me get it right." It's amazing how those words of reconciliation can make a huge difference, because let me say you, words of reconciliation that are not spoken can cause that relationship to become more fractured through the years. But when words of reconciliation are spoken, they can bring about healing to that relationship. And a relationship that was broken can be healed sometimes simply by words of reconciliation. Number three, it's words of vision. These are words, in fact, that paint a picture for them that they have a bright future and they have a place in that bright future. Things simply like this: "I know you're going to do something great someday," or "God has a special plan for your life." Maybe even looking at that and saying, "You're going to make some woman a good husband someday." I like to say that to my boys, right? Who laughed? Jeannie. I want that to be true, and my boys are going to answer to me, should they not make some woman a good husband someday, all right? And my daughter, you're gonna make some man a good wife someday. Speak those words of vision. What is your hope for them? What do you desire for them? Words that say, "Here's what I see in your future," and help them to be positive. Because listen, if not, I guarantee you speak just the opposite, and you'll probably cloud their future, all right? You'll make their vision difficult. So speak words of vision that can build in them hope, that can build in them confidence, that builds in them a bright future. And then the fourth one is simply this: words of security. These are words that say something like this: "I will always love you." Maybe saying, "There's nothing that you can do that will keep me from loving you." You think our kids need to hear that? There's times we've had to punish our children. What's one of the first things they want to look back at you and say when you punish them? "You don't love me anymore." Some of y'all heard that, see, huh? I see it, right? Well, one of the things we need to speak back to them and look and say, "Listen, there's nothing you can do that's going to keep me from loving you." Need to look back at them and say, "Even when I'm old and cantankerous, I'm still going to be here for you, and I'm going to love you," right? Or maybe look at them and say, "When you're old and cantankerous, I'm still going to love you," right? But just words that says I'm here. Because here's the reality. We live in a world today where things fall apart all the time. We live in a world today where everything seems to be so insecure. What do our kids need? They need some security. And it needs to come from our words as we look at them and say, "I don't care what else happens in the world. You can know something. I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to always love you." And you can take that to the bank. All right. Now, of course, you have to mean it, right? But if you speak those words and you mean it, listen, it can make a huge difference in the life of a child. So just simply today, don't overlook the spoken word. You want to bless your children? It's important that you speak that to your child. Then there's one other aspect this morning. It's spiritual focus. As Isaac continues to speak to his son, look at what he says in verse 28. "May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine." Now, as Isaac says his full blessing, he says many other things after this that I don't have time for this morning. But the way he starts makes all the difference in the world. When he starts with the words, "May God give you," he is starting off with a recognition that God is our starting point. He was wanting to make sure that his son understood something, that he would not make it without God. And I wonder how many parents today, if they spoke a blessing over their children, they would start with God. Now, maybe here in the church this morning, you would say, "Oh, yeah, I would. Yeah, yeah, that's where I would start." But I wonder how many reality, our tendency to blessing our children doesn't start with God. We start blessing them about their academics. We want to bless them about their sports career. We want to bless them about their social life. We want to bless all those things, and we don't even start with God. We're more concerned about, are they accepted out there than are they accepted by God? And it needs to start with Him. Amen? You see, the spiritual is our starting point. We are doing a child a disservice if we fail to speak a spiritual focus in their life. And here's why. Catch me. Because God is the one who is most concerned about their future. God's more concerned about your child's future than you are. Are you aware of that? He is most concerned about their future. And hear me when I say this. God's future is the best future for their life. Here's the problem. Some of us are planning our children's future. We ought to be letting God plan it. Because if they follow our future, they're probably in trouble. But when we give them to God and say, God, what is your future for them? How have you created? God, what do you want my child to do? And you give it to them and ask God to bless and God to be with them, folks. That can make a huge difference in the life of your child. And see, here's ultimately even why this blessing of Jacob is important. Because Isaac was passing on a blessing. God had blessed Abraham. Abraham had blessed Isaac. Isaac had blessed Jacob. And later Jacob would bless his 12 sons and his two grandsons. And here's what Scripture reveals. That eventually it is through the line and this line of descendants that Jesus Christ came. What was the first blessing that God gave to Abraham? Listen to it in Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all, how many? All the families of the earth shall be blessed. You see, God had promised his blessing ultimately to all the families of the earth through Abraham. And so as Abraham passed the blessing on, God's promise was carried through the generations. How was this blessing fulfilled? Through Jesus Christ. In fact, the Gospel of Matthew begins this way. Matthew 1:1 says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. We could read on, all right, until we get to the final descendant in verse 16 where it says, Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. You see, as Isaac passed on his blessing, especially one of a spiritual focus, here's what happened. He allowed his family to be a part of God's plan of sending a Savior into the world. It allowed his family to be a part of blessing the whole world. And folks, nothing could be compared to that. And listen, when you give your children a spiritual focus, you're allowing your children to be a part of God's plan in this world. And there's nothing more important than giving them a spiritual focus. You with me today? See, even some of you might be saying, well, Scott, why are you sharing this? Because here's what I know. Even today, there are some of you who have missed out on your blessing. I know that. Maybe you never had a mother or a father who blessed you, as I've said. You didn't get the proper meaningful touch, or the spoken words you heard weren't blessing. And a spiritual focus, it wasn't cast for you. And because of that, there are some here that have been responding in negative ways in your life. You've been trying to earn a blessing through being a workaholic or other destructive pursuits of approval, hoping to receive the blessing of a parent. Some may have simply turned to other places to try to find it. Are you aware that the number one candidate for gangs and cults are kids who did not receive a blessing from their parents? It's a dangerous thing. Some have done the opposite. You've withdrawn into a world of isolation and loneliness. You've concluded it is better to be alone since you did not receive a blessing and approval from the ones that you desired it most. Or some have just become angry, and because of that, any number of actions have followed. If any of these things remotely relate to you, I want you to know something. You ready? I want you to know there's hope. Because through Jesus Christ, you ready? Through Jesus Christ, there is a blessing to be found. An interesting thing happened when Jesus walked upon the earth in Mark 10. We read this encounter. And when they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And look at this. And he took them in his arms and what? Bless them, laying his hands on them. Folks, listen, Jesus blessed those little children. And I can assure you that Jesus Christ wants to bless you. I can assure you, the greatest way that He has blessed us is by making it possible for us to be a child of God. And we know this because in John 1:12 it states, But to all who did receive Him, that being Jesus, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become what? Children of God. Hear me. If you've put your faith today in Jesus Christ, you have become a child of God. And by becoming a child of God, you ready? You have entered into the family of the greatest Father of all, our Heavenly Father. And you can be sure that He wants to bless you. He demonstrated this even when Jesus walked upon the earth as God's Spirit descended like a dove and rested upon Jesus after His baptism. He said this to His Son in Matthew 3:17, and behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is My beloved Son," what? "With whom I am well pleased." See, here's what I can know about God. What God wants to do, He wants to bless His children. And what God, your Heavenly Father, wants to do, He's more than willing to look at you and say, "This is My Son with whom I am well pleased. This is My daughter with whom I am well pleased." God the Father wants to look at you and He wants to say those words to you. He loves you. Jesus Christ came. Why did He send it? Because we were messed up. And He made a way for us to be His sons and His daughters. Why? Because He truly wants to bless us. In fact, let me close with this challenge this morning. All right, if you're here today and you have children that God has blessed you with, make sure you are passing on a blessing to them. Will you do that? Give them appropriate, meaningful touch. Give them the spoken words. And give them a spiritual blessing. All right? Give them spiritual focus in their life. Those children in your life need it. But let me go on to say this. If you don't have your own children to bless, become someone's spiritual parent by helping them come to know Jesus Christ. In fact, if you go read 1 and 2 Timothy, here's what you could discover. That Timothy did not have a father. Timothy was raised by his mother and his grandmother. But the Apostle Paul, you know what the Apostle Paul became to Timothy? Anybody want to guess? A father. All right? He called Timothy his true son in the faith. He looked at Timothy as a son. Now, it wasn't a biological connection, but it was a spiritual connection. He had led him to the Lord. He helped him know what it meant to walk in the Lord. And he became a father to him. And there is just a special connection there. He filled that role that his father didn't. And I want to challenge all of us here today. Again, if you got your own children, you need to be pouring this blessing into their life. But here's what we all can do. We can all find children to be their spiritual parent and pour this blessing into their life. They may not have it. Here's what I've discovered about kids all around us. There are kids that are longing to be blessed. Right? I didn't teach school very long. I was running from God, so I only taught a year and a half before I finally said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do what You want me to do." But here's what I discovered in the year and a half that I taught, all right, and this was even in high school, that kids flocked to me wanting someone to talk to. They were wanting hope. They were wanting help. They were looking for love. They were looking for a blessing. They were looking for approval, right? We got many teachers in our church. Let me just say that if you're a teacher, God's put you in such a special place. It's a wonderful place. Let me encourage you to do this. Don't get caught up in all the junk they make you do out there in school these days. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Amen? Teachers say amen to that. That you overlook the fact that there are children coming in your classroom every day that need a blessing. And you might be the very one that God has put into their life to bless them. And I want to say to all of us, you may not be a teacher, but everywhere you go, there are children out there that need a blessing, and you might be the one to fill that role. I'm telling you, big brothers and big sisters are always looking for big brothers and big sisters because there are kids that need a blessing. You can come to church here, and you can work in our children's ministry, and there's youth ministry, because you know what? There are children, there are youth, even in our own church, that are looking for a blessing, and you could be the one that could fill some of those roles, because above all, here's what we need, to help boys and girls, and men and women, teenagers, whoever, come to know Jesus Christ, the one who is the ultimate blessing giver. Amen? And I want to ask this question to all of us today. Are we prepared to give a blessing? Are we prepared? In fact, in just a moment, we're going to come to this time of invitation. And I start by asking all the parents who are here this morning, are you giving a blessing to your children? Are you? Are you giving them that meaningful touch in their life. Listen, if you've been one of those parents that, man, it's been hands off, you think that stuff gross, go today and start being that huggy, kissy parent, all right? Will you do that? Did I ask the question a while ago about that? How many kids have ever looked and said, I can't remember between first and second service what I said. That's bad. I'm getting old. I'm losing my mind. How many kids have you ever come up, looked at you and said, I'm so messed up. My mom and dad hug and kiss me so much. It's just ruined me. Did I say that earlier? Okay, I said it now, right? You ever heard any kids come up and say that? My parents hug and kiss me so much. I'm just a wreck today. No. But there's a lot of them that's messed up because they said, my mom or dad never hugged me. My mom and dad never kissed me. My mom and dad never told me they loved me. And they're messed up today. Amen. So if you're not giving that meaningful touch, go out and start doing it today. How about that spoken words? What words are you speaking in their life? If you're not speaking words that bless them, today is the day to come to this altar and confess that, repent, say, God, forgive me for the words that have come out of my mouth. God, I need a second chance with my child, my son, my daughter, whoever that is, my grandson, my granddaughter. I need a second chance. God, forgive me for the words that I've spoken. And God, today, fill my mouth with spoken words that will bless the children in my life. Do you need to do that? Or how about today, that spiritual focus? Maybe today it's even realizing I've been focused on all the wrong things. I've been worried about whether they excel academically. I've been worried about whether they excel athletically. I've been worried about whether they excel socially. And what I haven't been concerned about is, are they excelling spiritually with you, Lord? And you need to come today and say, God, that's where it needs to start. I need to begin casting a spiritual focus into the life of my child. Do you need to do that? Then let me ask you today, as you do that, as you take that under your wing and say, I'm going to do that, let me ask you. Can you look around and find others that you might need to give that to? Because there's a world of people out there that's hurting, that need a spiritual blessing in their life, right? And they're looking for a mother or father, maybe in the faith, and you might fill that role. So today, whether it's in your own home or maybe it's for somebody outside of your home, let me ask you, church, are you ready to go out and give a blessing? Are you ready? My prayer is today, I hope so, because we have a world that needs it. Amen? Let's just pray. Our Father, as we bow into your presence this morning, I want to thank you for being such a loving heavenly Father. And Lord, revealing that to us in your word. That Father, today you have told us how special we are and how much you love us, Father. And that you've got a plan for our life. And forgive us, Lord, when we haven't heard that. Sometimes, Father, we listen to all the voices in the world but you. And for those of us, Father, who have had those parents who have poured a blessing into us, thank you for that, God. But Father, for those who are here today who haven't had it, Father, I pray today they would look to you and find the blessing that you can give in spite of what their past might be. And Father, in this moment, I pray that there would be commitments to those who would come and say, I want to pour a blessing into the life of those children in my life. And that there would be some who would just come to this altar, whether this confessing a past failure, Lord, or just asking strength for the future, that would come and say, I want to pour a blessing into the life of those children that I know and that are involved in my life, that they would come. Our Father, even this morning, that there might be some who would come and just simply say, I need to become a child of God. I need that blessing. And I know ultimately it can only come from God. And that today they might come giving their heart and life to Jesus Christ and enter into the greatest family ever, that family of the Heavenly Father above. So Lord, would you bless us today? Speak to our hearts. Encourage us to do what needs to be done. And as I pray these things, I pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.